Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. If you find yourself in legal trouble, you're going to want the best result possible in your case. Hiring the Garza Law Firm ensures that you will get the best result possible. That's because Marcos and his team are East Tennessee's premier DUI defense lawyers, criminal defense, and personal injury lawyers. Before you say guilty, say Garza. You can give them a call at 865-540-8300 or look them up online at garzalaw.com. You can chat with a representative there 24/7, 366. That's right, it's a leap year, 366. We appreciate Marcos Garza and his team for their support. Remember, before you say guilty, say Garza. Marcos Garza and his team. Let's get to today's episode. Donda Plowman whips it out. Tennessee loses to South Carolina. Then we hit some Patriot questions. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch, February 21st. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We missed last week because it was Valentine's Day and love was in the air. Seth joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. It's good to hear your voice as usual.
Great to hear your voice. The vibes are not extremely high, but man, they're a lot higher than they would have been had we lost last night to Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Can you imagine had we lost?
The vibes would be at a 2 out of 10. Instead, I'll say they're at a 8. 8, 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, whew. Anyway, we won. That's all that matters. That's literally all that matters is that we won. I mean, I don't know. I just wish that on one of these road games, like, Santi would hit some shots.
I'm going to be honest. I'm sick of watching Santi play offensive basketball.
Yeah, I agree. He hasn't done it with that, you know. I was going to say, like, to me, almost the most important thing about this team is Josiah hitting his first three that he takes.
Maybe.
Because I've been thinking about that.
Either him or Ganey. Like, one of those guys has to make their first shot.
Like, I know that sounds, because it's not the most important thing about this team. But to me, it almost kind of is for them to be as good as they can be. It's the most important thing is whether or not Josiah hits his first three. Because if he hits his first three, then watch out. You know.
He took a three pretty early on in the game last night, right?
Yes, and did he make it?
No, he went 0-for-4.
Okay.
He went 0-for-4. Your point is correct. I feel like he took one fairly early in the game.
And he only played, like, what, 6 minutes in the second half? Or something, right?
I mean, and I would say two of those were at the end too, or at least a minute and a half was kind of when we were blowing the game. We put him in to maybe kill the narrative of him getting benched, and yeah, maybe, you know, get a walk off the floor so you'd have another ball handler. But yeah, he didn't play much last night. And actually, I'm looking through the play by play, and he didn't shoot a three for a long time either. I was wrong on that.
He played 19 minutes last night, right? And then Jemiah played 11.
Yeah, I don't really understand the minutes that Meshack has gotten since the Alabama game.
Yeah.
He played 28 minutes, I believe, against Alabama. I thought he looked pretty good offensively. Of course, he looked good defensively, taking Sears out of that game and making his life hell.
And since that moment, he's just kind of gone back to 15 minutes a game or less. I mean, he played 17 against A&M, but I think that was just in response to him only playing 1 minute in the first half and them being a little desperate. I don't know. Barnes speaks highly of him and then only plays him in, like, you know, the middle of the teens in terms of minutes. That seems low. Maybe they're saving him for, you know, the stretch run. Maybe he'll come out and play 30 minutes again against Alabama on the road. I don't know, but I was surprised at how little he played last night.
Yeah. Because I have no doubt that Rick Barnes loves him immensely.
He says he does every time he has a chance to talk about him. You know, and so does Greg Polinsky when he comes on the morning show, airing every day from 7 to 10 a.m. on Fan Run Radio. You know, Polinsky comes on every Thursday, and he sings Mayshak's praises as well. You would think he would be a coach's dream.
Yeah.
Now, last night I get a little bit just because you don't – you know, we went to the double bigs, and you don't want to play Mayshak with Awaka and Adu. I get that.
Yeah, I actually thought that it made sense why people's minutes got squeezed last night because we went to two bigs.
And I thought it was the right move. I mean, Missouri didn't have a lot of interest in keeping us off the offensive glass.
Yeah.
So I thought having both Jonas, who was bad in the first half, but I thought really good in the second half, and Awaka, who was just awesome all game, I thought having both of them out there and kind of letting Connect run just nonstop pick and rolls with them made a lot of sense.
Yep. Awaka was awesome. I mean, four people got in double digits again, which is pretty much when four guys get in double digits, they're pretty much unbeatable, I feel like. I mean, I don't know. I've been thinking that to me the most important thing right now feels like, does Josiah hit the first three? Because if he does, then watch out. I just don't think – I think at this point you're never – like you cannot ever expect to get anything on offense from Vescovy.
And that's really sad. It feels like house money if he scores over 5 points.
It's very sad. He was on the preseason Wooden Award watch list.
I come into the game happy if he scores 5 points or more than 5 points. Five is where I've got him penciled in at. At this point, hell, I'll be happy if he shoots the ball five times because there's not a lot of games where he shoots more than five times, it feels like.
Yeah.
But, like, it's weird, Seth, because I don't feel like it's a lack of hustle.
No, he plays his ass off.
Yeah, I was going to say on defense, like, he's maybe your best rebounder outside of Awaka. And, like, you know, he had a couple big steals where he saved the ball in bounds last night. Like, I don't watch him and think that he's not trying. But when he plays on offense, it's just like he has no confidence. He plays offense like Mayshak does.
Yeah, I don't think he shouldn't play because he gives you so much on defense. Like, he had one play last night where he, like, on the inbounds where he deflected the ball. I mean, he gives you so much on defense. And I'm not saying he shouldn't play. I'm just saying that, like, I just don't expect anything out of him offensively. I mean, and his threes, they look good. His threes look good. They just rim in and out. It's crazy. It's bizarre. When he does shoot a three, it's not like he's missing badly. I mean, he hasn't missed a three as badly as Dalton Connect did last night.
No, Connect, and he, you know, he was on the Nick Young / Kobe Bryant method of, hey, going 0 for 8 is bad because that means you quit shooting. I'd rather go 0 for 50. And, like, Connect kept shooting, and eventually he got hot. And, you know, once he had that first long jumper, you're like, okay, here we go. And then, of course, he followed that up with a dominant five-minute stretch. But Vescovy doesn't have that bone in him, and it's sad.
No, for all the stuff that I said about Josiah hitting that first three, as soon as Dalton hits 1-3, it's over. And it's crazy, but it's truly over. Christian Moore just hit one to the moon.
Even a nice jumper. I mean, he had a long two last night for his first bucket. One that you probably don't want to shoot.
A bad shot. A terrible shot, I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're in the analytics community and, like, you don't want long twos, and we hate those, but he hit it. It was in rhythm. It cut the five-point lead to three, and then he proceeded to bust their ass for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah. So they won. That's all that matters. Literally all that matters is that they won. That's it. That's the only thing that matters. So we can move on.
It was the final preseason game, as far as I'm concerned. Like, there was a lull in the season where you kind of got back to, okay, let's just get through the stretch. Let's take care of business. Now you did it. there was no reward for beating Missouri other than avoiding a loss. Yeah. But now, from here on out, it's going to feel like big games that define or decide, I guess I should say, the championship race. Now, A&M coming off a loss to Arkansas, they're going to be fighting for their lives. They're not very good. But when you played them 2 weeks ago, they kicked your ass. And you can't afford to slip up at home. So, like, you should be locked in. I saw that we announced we're doing Checker Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center, which, by the way, they quickly dropped the Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center part off and just became the Food City Center. Very smooth by Danny and the guys. But you're going to Checker Thompson Bowling at Food City Center. You're going to then get to the last four games against quad one opponents. And then, of course, the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament. So from now on, it's go time. Every game is going to feel important.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, on UT Sports, like, they don't even mention Thompson Bowling.
No, they completely wiped that out. They completely got rid of it. They have eradicated it from our vocabulary. That's why I'm trying to keep it alive. It's Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center. But I noticed that very quickly on, like, Ticketmaster for concerts. They didn't even bother with the Thompson Bowling Arena part. It was just all the Food City Center. And now, even in, like, our announcements to Checker Thompson Bowling Arena at Food City Center, it just says Checker the Food City Center.
A&M got swept by Arkansas this year. After A&M beat Florida, Missouri, and Tennessee in a row, and at that point they were 6-4 in conference, 15-8 overall, safely in the NCAA tournament. They have since lost at Vandy, lost to Alabama by 25, and lost to a putrid Arkansas team at home.
Do you think Buzz is in trouble?
Yes, he should be. Why is he? I would not bring him back. He has to be fired, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has he made the tournament? Did they make the tournament last year?
They made the tournament last year as a 7 seed, and they were like a sneaky pick as like somebody that was going to do something, and they got housed in the first round.
Okay. I knew they didn't make it the year they lost in the SEC championship to us.
They lost to Penn State by 17 last year in the NCAA tournament as a 7 seed.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, like I feel like if you're Texas A&M and you have those standards for your football program, you got to have them for your basketball program. You can't let that shit slide. Like, I get that Buzz dresses nicely. Maybe you like him. He seems like an all right guy. Although I still am confused about him going all like suit vest once he got to A&M, because I don't feel like he really rocked that at Marquette. But you got to get rid of him, right? You got to try to go out and make a big splash. You got to make a big hire.
Yeah, I would think so.
Especially if they miss the tournament like they are trending towards.
Yeah.
They were picked to win the SEC this year, right? I mean, they were the highest ranked SEC team.
I thought they were picked second in the SEC.
Okay, maybe, but I want to say they were the highest or maybe second highest behind us SEC team when it came to the AP Top 25.
Yes, they were picked second in the SEC behind us.
Are you sure it was second? Because I thought it was first.
I can look right quick.
Yeah, look right quick, because I thought they were picked to finish ahead of us. But maybe I'm going to get confused with just being ranked higher than us. Okay. It was one or the other, I'm pretty sure.
So SEC media panel picks number 9, Tennessee, to win league. Wade Taylor, preseason player of the year. Number 15, Texas A&M finished second. Arkansas third. Kentucky fourth.
Okay, so
Alabama.
I'm just 0 for 2. Never mind.
They were preseason 15th, man. Who knew? Who knew? I certainly did not.
I knew they were picked to finish top two at least, so I'll take credit for that. But yeah, they've been a shit show, and you do wonder how long they put up with it. And, you know, Tennessee can kind of put the foot on the proverbial throat by kicking his ass on Saturday.
Yeah, Tennessee needs to beat the hell out of him Saturday.
I'd imagine Tennessee's going to be at least 12-point favorites in that game and should be expected to win, kind of like they have all year long at Thompson Bowling Arena, at least on the weekend, by like, you know, 20 points.
Yeah, I expect Tennessee to really come out hot.
Because so far we've looked good on Saturday nights all year long, really, outside of Texas A&M.
Yeah. So, yeah, they got the win. That's all that matters. They got the win. It was against I would love to know what has happened to Missouri.
Yeah, like, I mean, last year it felt like they struck gold in the transfer portal, and this year it feels like they've struck out kind of like Arkansas has. Like, you can only go to that well so many times before it comes up dry, I guess. If you're rolling the dice and trying to avoid a snake eyes or whatever, like, you can only do that so many times before it comes up. And it feels like it's came up for both Missouri and Arkansas at the same time.
He's got a really good recruiting class coming in, a pretty good recruiting class coming in. It's not that they fell off. That's not my issue. It's Missouri basketball. It's that they're going to go, they probably will go winless. They're going to go.
See, it's crazy you say it's Missouri basketball. I still remember Missouri basketball being really good.
I know. They're just so dorky at everything. It's like, they should be good. They should be. But do you really expect them to be?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy how bad they are. It's crazy how shitty they are. They're terrible. And especially how shitty they are with him, because he had shown flashes last year. I mean, they were tough last year.
They were so fun last year. They're just fun, shooting threes, just bombing threes.
I will say I still think he's a good coach. Or I'm not sold on him getting fired this year, even if they go winless.
They can't fire him, man. They can't fire him. Surely.
I know, but can you bring him back a coach that goes 0-18 in SEC play?
I don't know. That would be crazy if they do.
0-18 is almost automatic firing. Like, you almost have to do it.
Did Stackhouse get fired officially?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
Not that I've seen, which, you know, I don't know what they're waiting on. I feel like college basketball doesn't have a lot of in-season firings. I might be wrong about that, but I remember being surprised. I say I remember like it was a long time ago. I was surprised earlier this week whenever Holtman got fired. Or last week, whenever Holtman got fired from Ohio State. Just because I don't feel like a lot of college basketball coaches get fired during the middle of the season.
Yeah, they don't.
Then, of course, they come out and beat Purdue afterwards. But you beat Missouri. That's all that mattered. I don't really have any thoughts from that game other than, like, we have a good two-man tandem right now at center.
Yeah.
I'm not automatically opposed to them playing together. I don't want to see them play together just because they played good against Missouri. I still want it to be a case-by-case basis, and I still think our best lineup is with one of those guys out there.
It was a lot more successful than I thought it would be.
Well, like, you know, statsbywill.substack.com, our boy Stats by Will, he came on the morning show, again, every day, 7 to 10 a.m. on Fan Run Radio. And he pointed out just how bad Missouri was at fouling and how bad Missouri was at rebounding the basketball on the defensive end. And both of those things kind of bore fruit. But, like, you know, when Missouri wasn't really interested in rebounding, at least on the defensive end, I had no problem with trying to just beat them up and get extra shots because, you know, when Tennessee wasn't necessarily hitting shots. And Awaka and Adu were this, you know, top – your three best players last night were Connect, Adu, and Awaka. So, like, I don't want to have one of those guys on the bench while everyone else is being pretty much useless. Because everyone else was pretty much useless. Everyone else kind of sucked last night. And your three best players, two of them were big guys, so play them together.
Yeah. It's so fun. I love Tobey Awaka so much, man.
You know, I don't want to say that last night was what I expected because, you know, I wouldn't hold him to an 18-10 standard. But after the offseason he had with the U19 Team USA team, I did expect him to have like a bunch of 12-8 games this year.
Yeah.
And so far it's been pretty disappointing. But, of course, if you save that by finishing the season strong, we all would sign up for that.
Yeah, I just love him so much, man. Marwan said it the other night, and it's true. Like, to get a rebound over Tobey, you have to foul him. That's the only way you can do it. Like, you have to foul him to get a rebound over him. I just love him. I love watching him. He's awesome. I'm glad he finally got his big game.
But now he's shown he's capable of doing it.
Yep.
So now the standard kind of raises a little bit. It's going to be more frustrating now if he comes out and picks up two immediate fouls and doesn't give you at least a solid game. Like, he should score 8 points and grab 6 rebounds every game now moving forward. He did all that last night in 23 minutes, Seth. He played 23 minutes and had 18 points and 10 rebounds.
Really impressive. He was awesome. from the very beginning, he was the only guy that played good for 40 minutes, good for the entirety of his time.
At halftime, we had, 24 points? And he had six of them. He was 3 of 4. I think he had 26 points. He had 8 of them, actually. And we were, 6 of 26 from the field outside of him. He was 3 for 4 and 2 for 2 from the free throw line.
Yeah, he's gotten good at free throws now.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the 80 percentile. He's shooting 80%.
He's totally reworked it. I just love him. I love watching him. He is pretty much, I think, everything you could ask in a college athlete in terms of just sheer effort and willingness to play and do what it takes. Him and Jemai Meshack both.
I expected more all year, and I'm glad he's finally delivering. And knowing that you have at least one competent big at all times makes me feel comfortable moving forward now that we're in the stretch part of the season.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, excited for Saturday night. I'm really excited about basketball season now because now we're getting to the real. Every game is really going to matter. I'm excited for the other games. I'm excited to watch Florida at Alabama tonight. I expect Alabama to win, pretty easily. But still, Florida's really good now.
Ah, man, so you say pretty easily. I expect Florida to at least hang around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, by that, I mean, I just don't see anybody beating Alabama at home right now. So, pull away.
Does that include Tennessee?
No, I think Tennessee can, because I think Tennessee is different than anybody else in the conference.
I also think we match up really well with them.
Yeah.
Are you going to that game? Did you end up buying tickets?
So my deal with Claire was if we beat A&M, I would buy them that Saturday night. We got housed, so she hasn't brought it back up. But she's kept her calendar clear for that weekend. She's specifically not doing anything on that Saturday just in case I decide I want to go.
So I mean, that's going to be by far the biggest Tennessee-Alabama basketball game of all time, right?
I know. And I can handle losing in football. It's the basketball losses that really, make me go red. So I don't know yet. I was thinking about it yesterday. I was kind of getting the itch yesterday.
Now that we're here with, 3 weeks left in the season, I do think we win the SEC, or at least, get the one seed and a split of the conference championship.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I think you could realistically say Alabama has 2 losses left on the road.
They have 5 pretty tough games.
They also go to Oxford, right?
They go to Florida, they go to Kentucky, they go to Oxford.
They go to Oxford and they host us. I don't know who the 5th one is.
The 5th one's easy. The 5th one's easy, or the 6th one's easy. They have us. They play us at home. They got Florida, both home and away, at Kentucky, at Ole Miss. And then I want to say the other one's like Vanderbilt or something, pretty easy. But it does feel like they have 2 losses minimum on there.
Yeah. And I should probably be a little more hesitant about Kentucky because I don't really know that last Saturday night really portends anything for Kentucky going forward, because Calipari's done this the last couple of years where he's just won these obnoxious games on the road that he had no business winning, and it really hasn't affected much over the course of the season. And 2, I just don't think Auburn is all that good. I've said this about Auburn for a month now. I don't care what the advanced stats say. They lost to App State. They lost to Appalachian State.
I watched a lot of that game against Auburn, and I did feel like at least they looked interested on defense, which is more than you can say about any time the rest of the year.
Sure.
So, Kentucky did seem to finally say, okay, we're going to have to at least pretend on defense.
Yes. Yes, they did.
With that being said, I still expect Kentucky and Alabama to be in the 90s.
Yeah.
But at least they finally looked like they cared about defense.
A very, very poor loss for Auburn.
They had 9 points. As bad as we were last night offensively, Auburn had 9 points, I want to say, at the 11-minute mark of that game against Kentucky, which is equally embarrassing at home as what we did against Missouri, as far as I'm concerned.
Because they just don't lose there. I'm sick of hearing about that gym.
The jungle.
I'm sick of hearing about the jungle. I'm sick of seeing Bruce Pearl lose some weight, bro. Can we put him on a treadmill?
I will say that seeing him in the locker room do his whole rah-rah pregame speech, it does hit differently when he's about 40 pounds overweight.
Man, he has a goatee, John. What are we doing?
He's stressed out about the Palestinian and Israel thing.
I mean, like...
He's stressed out, Seth. Give him a break. He's stress eating.
They're really annoying.
I'm glad that we do not play them on the road, though.
Amen.
For as much shit as we're talking about the jungle, I'm glad we don't have to go down there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, to their credit, it is hard to win there.
It's nice that I feel like we're getting a scheduling break by just getting them in Knoxville.
Yeah.
We need Chris Beard to do us a favor and choke them out, or we need Florida to do us a favor and get them at least once. I think we beat them in Tuscaloosa, but I don't know if we necessarily run the table outside of that. I could see us slipping up once.
Yeah.
I would love if Alabama lost twice, because I think we're going to only lose once, and we're pretty much insured to win any tiebreaker over them. As long as we beat Auburn.
As long as we beat Auburn.
Yeah, as long as we beat Auburn.
Yep.
Which I think we will.
Yeah, I do too. So, yeah.
Any quick baseball thoughts?
I mean, it's nice we get A.J. Russell for 2 years.
His stuff seems electric.
Think about how much Tony Vitello loves Drew Beam. Think about how much Drew Beam loves Tony Vitello, how much he means to Tony Vitello. Like, last year in the postseason, Tony Vitello waxed poetic about Drew and how much it meant that Drew finally got to get his postseason start. That's not, you know, he loves Drew Beam so much, and A.J. Russell was so good that they were just like, look, man, A.J. Russell has to be the Friday night starter. When, like, it should be Drew Beam's by right. He stuck around. He's been awesome his first 2 years. That's how good A.J. Russell is. And I know that they want to, like, have Drew Beam as, like, a safety vat, blah, 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 blah. But, like, A.J. Russell looks like a superstar. The fastball is insane. The fastball is insane. His stuff has so much movement. It's so much fun to watch. And I think Kaveris Tears is just, like, I mean, I think Kaveris Tears is, like, electric. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. I think he just, like, looks like a cleanup hitter. Like, does anybody look more like a cleanup hitter than Kaveris Tears?
I was surprised at him not getting more playing time last year.
Well, he couldn't stay healthy.
Was that it?
Yes, he was always hurt. As soon as he would do something great, he would get hurt. His hamstring kept flaring up.
Okay, fair enough.
Between
him and Dreiling, though, I just remember being surprised that neither one of those guys got more playing time.
Yeah. I think that they have some real, true, like, major league hitters. And Dreiling, Amick, and Christian Moore. I mean, Christian Moore is awesome.
Is it Amick or Amick?
I don't know.
I'm going to say, I heard of them going with Amick, so I'm going with Amick, but yes, I also...
That's what I heard them too. In my head, it's just Amick, but it's Amick is what they say.
Okay, I was going to say, it was me. I was calling him Amick before the start of the season, but then now I'm calling him Amick, and I'm really bad at names, so I was kind of yielding to you because I figure you listen to more.
I screwed up. It's Amick.
Okay, I wasn't trying to call you out. It's just listen to more like Tennessee podcasts than I do.
It's Amick. Yeah, he has serious, serious power.
He looks like a stud. I mean, he looks like an All-American.
Yeah. I mean, D1 Baseball is floating him as like a Golden Spikes winner. I don't know that he's – I still think Christian Moore is the best player on the team.
I think it's pretty badass to have an All-American third baseman and a really, really good catcher. Like, I think those are two of the coolest positions to be awesome at.
Yeah.
And I think we got one of each.
Yeah.
Do we think Christian Moore stays at shortstop throughout the year?
No, but he looked pretty damn good.
Well, I was going to say, it looked like the defense was up to par. It looked like he was ready to go.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Amick is pretty good there at defense as well, or at least he was this last weekend. So I was like, you know, maybe that left side of the infield is good already.
Yeah. He looked pretty solid. That, to me, was... I never really had any like worries about Amick playing third base. I think that was a little overblown, but I mean, I don't really think anybody thought like Moore was going to be a star at shortstop. But he looked pretty good.
I know you don't care about gambling odds, but the fact that we were all the way down at like 24-1 on Sunday seemed kind of disrespectful to me because I think this team has national championship talent.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Since then, they've gone from 24-1 to 13-1, which is fifth best in the country. So that seems more in lockstep of what I thought, but I got us at 24-1 to win.
Yeah, like me and Luke were talking about it Friday night, and he was like, you know, it's pretty disrespectful that we were ranked ninth. And it is. Like, look at this lineup.
Behind Vanderbilt, of all teams.
Look at this lineup. And people, like, the Sunday starter thing, he gave a courtesy start to a guy who has played his ass off for UT against Baylor. Now, Schaefer or Dallas are going to be the third starter. It's going to be one of the two freshmen. Like, it's not going to be Xander Zekris. Like, they'll find a third starter. He always has. The pitching's never been an issue.
You have one of the best pitching coaches in the country.
Your ace last year, who ended up getting drafted really high, was a guy that didn't even play baseball the year before. Okay? I mean, they'll figure it out. He has A.J. Russell and Drew Beam. They'll find a third guy, and I think that the bullpen is just going to be unhittable.
We seem like we have a lot of good arms.
Yep.
I know that might be a dumb statement and, like, an obvious statement, but, like, it's true. Like, I feel like we have, like, 10 options of guys between our third starter and, like, 7 or 8 guys at the bullpen.
Yeah.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to Tony to press those buttons and, like, you know, that I do think the way he handled the game 3 against Notre Dame kind of cost us. And, like, maybe that flares up again. Maybe he hasn't learned his lesson. Maybe he doesn't know how to manage pitching. You saw it on Saturday night. People were bitching about him leaving the pitcher in too long and giving up a couple of runs and losing that Saturday game against Oklahoma, I believe. But I trust that we'll have plenty of options and that we will be good when it comes time.
Yeah, I agree. We seem like national championship material.
So I was shocked that after a pretty good weekend, going 2-1, we dropped all the way down to 24-1, but now we're at 13-1. That seems about right. So I expect Foley to be hosting regional and super regional games, and I expect to be in Omaha. That's kind of where I'm at.
They're going to hit a million home runs.
Feels that way, right? It feels like the offense is going to be back to where it used to be.
They're going to hit a million home runs. I mean, some of these balls that they hit in Dallas were crushed that weren't home runs. Forget about, like, the one that, like, Amick hit to left center to the second deck. Like, some of these we crushed that weren't home runs are going to be home runs, like, you know, in SEC play, whether at Lindsey Nelson or elsewhere. They're going to hit a million home runs. It's going to be fun.
When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy. I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John.Runyon at F-B-I-T-N.com. John Runyon with Farm Bureau.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. For every new patron that signs up between now and the time the tournament starts, I will add $10 to the March Madness prize pool. March Madness, the pool we do here with the patrons, is always one of my favorite things. I will add $10 of my own money for every new patron we get between now and the start of the tournament. Patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. The game threads are fun. I don't know if we have any events necessarily planned soon, but the March Madness pool coming up soon. For every new patron, I will add $10 of my own money to the prize pool. Shout out to new $5 patron, John Broyles.
Shout out to brother John Broyles, my man. We love you and appreciate you.
And Colin Clifton upped his pledge from $10 to $20.
Shout out to brother Colin Clifton. We love you and appreciate you.
Hit me with some questions.
Brother CB, a.k.a. Colts Beat Reporter, asks, what would be your realistic reaction if your financial advice columnist wife gave away $50,000 in a shoebox to a scammer?
You read this story, correct?
I read enough of it.
Or I was going to say, at least you're familiar with what happened, because I haven't read the actual story, but I've read enough of it.
There were two columns from New York City columnists last week that were absolutely jaw-dropping. This was one of them.
What was the other?
The other was by the novelist Emily Gold, discussing her basically decline into mental craziness and her cheating on her husband, and she aired all her dirty laundry. Her husband is a very famous author.
She went with the 8 Mile Eminem method of just dissing herself.
Insane article. Insane article. By like a husband who is by like all accounts like a gentleman.
That's embarrassing.
Yes, this one was it's tough to believe. Dylan brought this up. I think it might have not been Dylan, but I saw Dylan talking about it. Somebody brought this up about whether or not the whole thing was just like a troll.
It had to be fake, right?
Yeah. So, and then the National Review, Charles Cook of the National Review, put out an article. Basically, he was like, man, I have questions about this story. Do you think it's a troll?
Well, like I said, I haven't actually read it. I've just seen enough about it to where I thought, like, hey, this is obviously a ploy to draw attention to financial safety and financial crimes and all that, because that's what she does, right? She writes about finance and taking care of your money. So that my antennas went up about it. But to answer Caleb's question, if my wife came to me and said that she got duped out of $50,000, what would you do, Seth?
I would be speechless. I would just look at her and then...
Scammers are good, man. Scammers are good.
Like, the scam that she talked about falling for was so dumb. How do you fall for that?
It involved taking $50,000 and putting it in a shoebox, right?
Yes.
And delivering $50,000 cash to someone. Yeah, that seems dumb. I have sympathy for people who get duped by, like, phishing schemes, and, like, you click on the wrong link, and next thing you know, you've linked your bank account, and it's gone that way. It's a whole different level of stupid whenever you're actually getting physical cash out of the bank.
Yes.
But what would you do if your lover got scammed out of $50,000 of y'all's money? Do you cut her off? Is it grounds for divorce?
I would be speechless.
I feel like that would be a point of no return for you in a relationship. Because you're already going to be telling her how much smarter you are than her. And after she got duped out of, you know, 3 months of work for you, I feel like you would just be completely, like you said, speechless.
Dude, like, imagine taking $50,000 in cash in 100s and lighting it on fire. Basically, like the Joker does in The Dark Knight.
That would take you, like, 4 paychecks to get back.
Yeah.
It's not about the money. It's about sending a message. And the message is, I'm a dumbass that fell for this. I feel bad for old women who get duped out of things. I watch Dr. Phil every now and then. He'll have some old women on there who got catfished. I feel bad for them.
Oh, dude, it's awful.
Because they're just lonely women looking for love or attention or friendship. But am I to be correct by thinking this writer was, you know, in her late 30s, early 40s?
She wasn't elderly.
Yeah, so like it seems like a attention-seeking method. I refuse to believe that she got duped by this.
Yeah,
it seems just like desperation from her.
Yeah. It seems like a troll to me.
It's not about the money. How cool is that when he sets that money on fire?
I love that movie still. I don't care what anybody thinks. I love that movie.
No, I'm just burning your half. I love when he tells him that. No, yeah, I'm just burning my half. Don't worry about it. It's my half. And then when he tells him, let's see how loyal a hungry dog really is.
Yeah. It's an amazing movie.
It really is. Although you said, I don't care what anybody says, I think it's still universally loved.
Okay,
Seth.
Is it still universally loved? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's tried to cancel The Dark Knight. I think it's still universally loved.
I didn't know if it'd become like a meme, like just something like bros like.
No, it's not Wolf of Wall Street. Okay. The bros love Wolf of Wall Street. We still love The Dark Knight. It's still a classic.
That's good.
About 15 minutes too long, I would say. 2 hours and 40 minutes, that's a little long. Let's get it down to 225.
Yeah, that's fair.
Less Maggie Gyllenhaal. And I love Maggie, but a little bit less Maggie Gyllenhaal.
It's fair to say Christopher Nolan gets a little high on his own supply at times.
Yeah, like 2 hours and 40 minutes, a little too long. 225 seems like the sweet spot. A little too much Harvey Dent. Just a little bit too much. I didn't need to see Christian Bale jumping off the yacht into the lake with the Russian models or whatever and going to dinner with that. I didn't need to see that. We could cut that out.
Yeah. The Hong Kong storyline.
A little bit long. I mean, it's cool whenever, like, the first time you see him drag him out of the building, like, into the bat plane or whatever. Like, that's kind of cool. But on the rewatch, I'm like, okay, let's fast forward through this.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes too long. I'm not Christopher Nolan, so, like, he's an expert, but I'm just, you know. I would imagine if he could do it over, he might be like, hey, you know, let's trim the fat a little bit. Although some people love fat. When I eat a good prime rib, Seth, I enjoy the fat a lot.
Interesting.
I soak it up.
I like leaner cuts of meat.
Well, that's why you're about, I would say, 70 pounds lighter than me.
My mom loves the fat on steak, too. I don't know.
I love the fat on steak. I love it. But again, that's probably why I'm about 70 pounds heavier than you.
Brother Brett asks, for both, what reality show could you see yourself winning and why? For you, it's Big Brother, right?
I don't know, man. Every time I watch a reality show, I think I could win.
Yeah.
I'm really into the NBC Peacock show Traitors right now.
Okay.
The idea of that is that there are, like, you know, 15 people or so in a house, and they pick two or three people to be traitors.
Okay.
Who are secretly killing people and voting them out. I think I'd be able to spot those people in a hurry, but I would be able to play it cool enough to, like, vote them out versus having them know I'm suspicious of them and killing me. I think I could win that one. Big Brother, I think I'd go stir crazy in the house. Survivor, I think I'm too fat for Survivor. I think I'd get tired, although they shortened Survivor by, like, 15 days. I think it's a lot easier now than it used to be. It used to be like over 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like 24. I could go out and do 24 days on the island. That'd be fine. That's just a diet. 40 days, I think I'd go crazy and start really being problematic or really hangry, as they call it. I'd love to play, but I still think I could do the balance games enough to win Survivor.
Yeah.
Kind of the same as Big Brother. Some of those elimination challenges or HOH households, you got to be able to, like, balance yourself up there. I don't think I could do it. I'm too heavy.
I love Survivor. I still watch it with my mother.
It's the GOAT. It's the greatest reality show of all time.
I would love to do it. I don't think I could win for sure, but I would love to do it.
I think you could win.
I think it
But they'd probably peg you as the nerdy guy and vote you out too early. This guy's way too smart for us. We got to get him out of here.
It is by far the greatest reality show ever. I did love the Amazing. Somebody said The Amazing Race. I loved that.
I've never watched The Amazing Race, I'll be honest.
I loved it as a kid because it would come on like right after Survivor, I think.
I have never watched a full episode of The Amazing Race.
But it's been like over a decade since I've watched an episode of that.
The concept of that is two people are basically looking for clues and trying to find certain landmarks in the city and things like that.
Yeah, they basically race around the world.
Okay. What do you mean race around the world? They get on planes and buses and stuff, or planes and trains and all that, or what?
I can't even remember. It's like it spans like a long ways, though.
I'm surprised that they put them on planes, but I guess that makes sense if they just kind of cut that off TV.
Well, hold on. Now let's.
You might be right. I don't know. I just every time the one time I've seen clips, they're just running around cities looking for buses and landmarks and things. Then they hop on a bike and try to drive really fast and pedal really fast.
So season one, they visited 4 continents and 9 countries. They started in New York City and finished in New York City, but they went around the world.
Okay, fair enough.
So, yeah.
I like clues and such. I would like to do that, but running and racing doesn't seem like a strong suit of mine. I would love to play Survivor or Big Brother, though. Survivor just for the diet, lose a little weight. Big Brother, I think, you know, the idea of being on camera though for 24 hours seems stressful.
Yes, extremely.
Like, when do you masturbate? Just when you're in the shower?
I don't know.
Would you get in a showmance?
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, you could fall in love like Amber and Rob, like Boston Rob and Amber did on Survivor.
One of America's greatest couples. I feel like you would be in a showmance for sure. And then you'd be the guy like, I never thought I'd be in a showmance. But here I am. She's just great. And actually, then she would manipulate you and make you look stupid because you're voting to save her and you're sacrificing your game to save her. And meanwhile, she's like, yeah, he's nice, but, you know, I'm here to win. And everybody's like, oh, my God, poor Seth. The analytical mastermind fell in love, and look at him. He's actually just wanting to be a family man. That big analytical brain is great, but actually his biggest muscle is his heart.
I do love families.
I know. And they'd be like, oh, my God, you're America's sweetheart. But then you get played by this girl. That's the way I see your storyline playing out. You should audition. Let's both audition. Let's make that a goal to both of us audition.
The thought of being on camera at all, like, sends me.
I made it to the final cuts of the Big Brother that was only online. It was the online version.
Yeah.
During the 2016 season, I got to the final edition. I didn't do a good enough job of lying in my last interview. I kind of choked.
I remember.
I don't know if I could take the heat of Survivor, though. It's so hot. All those bugs would drive me crazy.
The bugs would be horrible.
Yeah. And like eating rice nonstop. It does sound horrible. But it sounds like the easiest to get on right now. It seems like they're really struggling with casting. I don't think a lot of people want to go out there anymore. There's enough reality TV where people are looking elsewhere. So maybe it's easier to get on.
It's crazy. It's just such a good show.
I'm surprised Jeff's still kicking. And actually, I saw The Bachelor on TV. I'm surprised they actually followed through with getting rid of Chris Harrison. Jesse Palmer is still the host of The Bachelor.
Jesse Palmer works his ass off.
I don't know. I don't see him doing college football. Does he still do college football, or is he just the Bachelor guy now?
Yeah, and he does stuff on the Food Network. And he does like a morning show.
Oh, shit. Okay. My bad, Jesse Palmer. I was unfamiliar with your game.
Jesse Palmer is Canadian, by the way. Did we know this?
Yeah. No, I knew that. Leave it to Spurrier to recruit a Canadian to the SEC, am I right?
I don't know what that means. Yeah, he's the host of the Bachelor.
They canceled Chris Harrison because he stood up for a girl that had posted herself in like antebellum outfits.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and Chris Harrison stood behind racism, so they canceled him.
He is also the spokesman for avocados from Mexico.
That's a good brand to get behind.
He left Good Morning America in 2017 to host the newly launched Daily Mail TV. He's also hosted Spring Baking Championship, Holiday Baking Championship, as well as Food Truck Face-Off, Bakeaway Camp, and Holiday Baking Gingerbread Showdown on the Food Network. And I watched a Holiday Baking cooking show. So he was the ESPN analyst for the 2023 Orange Bowl in Miami Gardens, Florida.
He is also
an NFL analyst for TSN's Monday Morning Quarterback segment. So he does.
Okay. He works his ass off. He's everywhere the money be.
Yeah. He works his ass off.
Fair enough. Any other patron questions?
Brother OG Matt asks, I haven't thought of this as a good question, I think. Should we expect less than ideal refereeing / seating in the big dance since we are suing the NCAA? And it's their number one moneymaker.
I don't buy the conspiracy.
I think we're locked into a 2 seed, so.
Well, yeah, but what about officiating?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I don't think anyone feels good about their whistle.
Yeah, agree.
I felt bad for Dennis Gates last night whenever it was 7-0 in the second half.
Oh, man, like Tennessee was getting such a good whistle.
But he's like, after the game, he's like, we fucking suck at selling fouls. He's like, we're terrible at it. I think we'll be all right. Now, feel free to cut this out and play it back to me if I'm complaining in the tournament, but I'm not buying the conspiracy that the NCAA is going to put a hit out on us. If we do get a bad whistle, I'll just deem it as their incompetence, not a malicious intent.
I can already see it now. Us in the Elite Eight playing Purdue, and Zach Edey is playing football.
See, if I was a Purdue fan, that was what would keep me up at night, is that the officiating changes on him.
Yeah.
I think he's more likely to get in foul trouble that cost them the season versus us.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like, I think he's more likely to get a couple of cheap fouls caught on him.
Yeah.
Because he's used to getting refereed one way, and then a different crew comes in and decides to make a statement on him. That's what I would be terrified of. Brother Bob, one of our best baby boys, he asked, is Rick now higher than Bruce in the hierarchy of UT basketball coaches?
Yes, right.
So you rank Rick as what? Our second best basketball coach of all time? Or maybe first best? I don't know. I assume Ray Mears. I mean, I don't know.
I was going to say Rick Barnes, our best basketball coach ever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I know Ray Mears, his era or whatever, but I know, like, Ernie and Bernie and all that. Like, I seemed like good times.
Yeah, I'm going to say Rick Barnes, our best basketball coach ever.
A lot of people are disagreeing and saying Bruce is still their guy.
Well, 14
people. Does Rick at least have to make it?
Yes. 14 people reacted with yes to that question.
Well, in here, okay. The Discord is smarter than the general public. We've always said that.
Oh, okay.
The Discord is smarter than the general public, but I'm going to say that most of our fan base on other parts of the internet or in Facebook groups are going to say no, they still think Bruce. Does Rick at least have to make an Elite Eight before we say that?
No.
I mean, the consistency for Rick has been great.
Yeah. But some people, it will take an Elite Eight.
Even though, like, outside of that season, Bruce wasn't great in terms of postseason success.
And I know, like, I'm not excusing Rick in the postseason. Some of the things that have happened at UT have been absurd. And just, we don't need to rehash them. I think there have been some games in the NCAA tournament that have been inexcusable. Oregon State and FAU. But Purdue, Michigan, and Loyola.
To me, I don't get so much hung up on those as much as I do just the Oregon State game. That was rock bottom for Rick as far as I'm concerned. That was brutal.
That team was ranked like in the top 10 for a long time. And they ended up being a 5 seed and getting housed by Oregon State.
Yeah, but it's COVID and the freshmen couldn't practice. That's what I've now come around to saying. But, like, you know, Bruce gagged that game away against Ohio State.
Yep.
Got her ass kicked by Louisville. You know, absolutely got her ass kicked by Michigan. Lost to a pretty mid Oklahoma State team.
Oh, as the 8-9 game?
Yeah, like, it wasn't like Bruce just got it done tournament after tournament.
Yeah.
Barnes, to me, has been just as good outside of one block by J.P. Prince.
That's fair.
And in the regular seasons, I think you could say that Barnes has been way better in the regular season.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. The Bruce's first year, we beat Winthrop on the buzzer beater.
Correct.
We lost to Wichita State. We got drilled by Wichita State, right?
Correct.
By the dude that used to...
We lost by like 10 or so, if I remember correctly. Okay. I might be wrong on that, but like, I don't think we got drilled, but okay. We just never... I think they just pretty much held a 10-point lead the entire game,
yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I just didn't ever feel competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to like eke out an overtime win against Butler. The year we lost to Louisville, got killed by Louisville.
We didn't drill. I don't even think we beat them. I was at the American and Butler games. I don't think we beat American by that much.
I thought we killed American. I might be wrong.
Maybe we did.
That was the year then we had to play Virginia, right? We killed American, then played Virginia, if I remember correctly.
No, I thought we played American and then Butler because I was at the American game, but I wasn't at the Virginia game. I listened to the Virginia game on the radio.
Okay. Was it Long Beach State? Maybe we beat the year we beat Virginia. Maybe that's right.
I think that's right.
Okay, we killed Long Beach State and then beat down Virginia. Maybe that's right. That was the year we lost to blew the 20-point lead against Ohio State.
We were a 4 seed that year.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, to me, Rick Barnes has been better than Bruce Pearl, but I think to a lot of people, until Rick Barnes at least makes an Elite Eight, they will push back on that.
Yeah, that's fair.
But again, we're smarter in the Reeds Ranch Discord than most people.
We have always said that.
Highest IQ of any fan base, I say that for sure. Last question on the way out. Garrick, our favorite Notre Dame fan, asks, most disappointing season, Ramel Keaton, Josiah, Santee, or what you think Blake Burke eventually does this season?
I go Vescovy. He was on the preseason Wooden Award watch list.
Yeah, I would say that neither Josiah nor Blake Burke had high expectations heading into the season.
Who was expecting a lot out of Josiah Jordan-James? I mean, like, he gave you the 26-point explosion at Rupp. That's more than I expected out of him.
I did think Keaton would at least be a really good wide receiver in the SEC, though. And I thought he was pretty bad this year.
Keaton was a huge disappointment last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe him over Vescovy. Keaton, I think it's a coin flip between those two.
Yeah, Keaton was a massive disappointment.
I'm not going to answer the question about my plateau and my fitness journey. I'm not going to answer that. I'm sleepy, man. Since I switched to the mornings, I don't sleep much at night. It's hard to get in the gym consistently.
It is.
I'm just tired all the time. I'm not going to bed earlier. I'm just waking up earlier. I'm running on fumes. Switching to the mornings, I think, was a mistake, Seth. Because let's face it, there's plenty of times over the last 5 years I would be up till 2 a.m. and sleep till about 10 a.m. Not great for a grown man to be doing, which is why I made the switch, but now I'm just up till midnight and waking up at 6. I'm just losing sleep now. I'm tired. It's hard to get in the gym and lift heavy stuff when you're tired, okay?
I'm not
crazy. So have I hit a plateau? Maybe. Maybe I have. I don't know. I'm also getting older. The metabolism's slowing down a little bit. I don't know. I like my sweets. I really don't even like sweets. I just like soda. I can't kick the soda. I love soda. I'm tired now.
You can't even get on Diet Coke.
I hate Diet Coke. I think Diet Coke's disgusting. I would rather drink water than Diet Coke.
What about Coke Zero?
Hate it too.
If you drink it for 2 weeks, I think you'd change your mind.
I've drank plenty of Diet Coke in my day because my mom and my sister loved it growing up. I think it's gross.
Okay.
I wish I liked it. The Coke Zero I could maybe do, but at that point I was like, I'll just drink water. Okay. I know I need to quit it. I've been saying it for years. I just love it. It's my weakness. Among other things, the hairline's not great either. I get that, but my love for Coke is up there. All right, Seth, I love you. I'll talk to you next week. All right, I love Hopefully you. We are celebrating or at least taking care of business the next what day do we play next week, Tuesday or Wednesday?
We play Wednesday of next week.
So we play Auburn Wednesday, is that right?
Yeah, we'll play Auburn Wednesday night.
We'll probably podcast maybe Sunday then or Tuesday if you're good.
Okay.
Go ahead and knock that out. All right, love you. Talk to you later.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye.
Wish me luck at trivia.
Good luck.
Thank you. See you. Bye.
Quick to crank up on the hoe, you bitches better not get me started. Locked in. with the gangsters and players. My foes gon' keep it solid. Everything I got on new, it look like I got renovated. I'm cocky, bitch, when I was just humble, they didn't appreciate it. Young, wealthy, and ratchet, I'm the hood bitch's motivation. On top of the world now, they tried to underestimate me. Get them close. Them bitches fraudulent, you know you the truth. Get them close. Stop overthinking, these hoes can't fuck with you. Get them close. Standing on business in these Chanel shoes. Before I let a hoe play with me, I'll go eat some jail food on gag glow. Stomp a little pussy hoe with some shell toes. Yeah, glow. Slapping rap bitches and making bail, ho. Yeah, glow. Two-tone Cartier match the nails, ho. Yeah, glow. No competition, these bitches stale, ho. Yeah, glow. Curbing on curbing, my shit in layers, ho. Yeah, glow. Say they get money, but I can't tell, ho. Yeah, glow. Keep running circles around these snail hoes. Yeah, glow. And my shit bumping up in the jail, ho. Yeah, glow. Yeah, glow.